Lord was speaking to the seven churches in Asia Minor. I'm sure everybody here is aware that he spoke to them words that would tie in with something that was very significant about the area in which they were living. And that is no different as he was speaking here to the church at Laodicea. Laodicea was on the banks of what is known as the River Lycus. You ask me, where is Laodicea today? Well, a place called Latakia in Syria. That is where the area of Laodicea is. There's still a large, like, it's not quite a Colosseum. It's a large auditorium there, and various other things that come from the days in which this church at Laodicea was in existence. In the days when the Lord Jesus wrote to Laodicea, it was a very, very affluent place. It was very well known as a place for banking. In fact, Laodicea was so wealthy that it was a city that minted its own coins, which was very unusual. It was also well known for making woolen garments, black ones, that were worn especially on very dignified and special occasions. There was also a very, very famous medical school there where there was an emphasis, or you could say they majored upon the treatment of eyes and eye problems. It was a place where people looked upon as being very, very wealthy and didn't seem to have need of very much help from the outside world. It was also located just a few miles from a place called Hierapolis that is mentioned over there in the book of Colossians when the Apostle Paul was speaking of Epaphras. Now, it is possible that Epaphras, who was a Colossian, that he founded the church here at Laodicea. I can't say for sure, but Hierapolis was a few miles from Laodicea, and it was very famous for its hot springs. Not quite sure where it's still called Hierapolis today or not, but you may have heard of Cleopatra's Pool and things like that. There certainly are places in that very area that are still famous for their hot springs. There's hot springs there, and then at Colossae, which was a few miles in the other direction, there was very, very, very cold water. And Laodicea was also famous for its viaducts, or aqueduct, I should say. And they brought hot water from Hierapolis, and they brought cold water from Colossae. And by the time both of those streams of water got to the city of Laodicea, they were both lukewarm. They were lukewarm. So you can see now, when you consider what I've been saying about what they were involved in with the wool and the medical school and their riches, and also with the lukewarmness, you can see how the Lord was speaking in a way that really would really hit home to them. I think it's very interesting and important to note here in verse 14 where it says, "Unto the angel of the minister of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen." It is referring to the Lord Jesus. It is a word that is sometimes translated true or truth and derived from a root that means nursing, to build up. If you've got a little baby, and some of you have had in fairly recent years a little baby, it's not too big to begin with, but you nurse it and you feed it in order to build it up. And that is the meaning of the title that is used here concerning the Lord. So it's in their interests to listen, to speak to them, as he speaks to them and shows things to them just as they are. It's good when the Lord does that. He needs to do it for me, and he needs to do it for you, to show us things just as they are. He also, in his diagnosis of us as individuals and as congregations, he tells us how to make adjustments and how to help those situations if we do need help there. So we're going to look now for the rest of the time at how comfort can promote complacency. And this was very evident in this church at Laodicea. You'll notice here that with these people, and again, we need to note that these were Christian churches that the Lord was writing to. Notice here that there was dimmed vision. It's good when Christians know they need to depend on the Lord. And churches, no matter how comfortable they become, never forget that they're depending on Him. But look at verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And I have need of nothing here. The thought is, and I mentioned this already, that not only did they not look out at this time to the need that was all around them, but can I use the word snob and say that in that sense, in a sense, they were like that. They were so affluent that not only did they not look out, but they didn't feel that they needed anybody to look in. So they were totally caught up here in themselves. They were confined, as it were, and their thinking was confined within very narrow limits. But they were not growing. They were not growing because of their dimmed vision. And when I say dimmed vision, there was a whole lot of things come into play there. Dimmed vision of how they were spiritually, individually, of all that was around them. We can't afford to lose sight of the unsaved around us. Again, to go back to the mission. So encouraged. We're just ordinary people. But we come in expectancy. And we come and we pray in expectancy because we have a vision for the lost. And because we come because we have a vision for the well-being of each other, if we know the Lord. And we have a vision for Northern Ireland. We love Northern Ireland, and for the wider world. We had a deputation meeting on Wednesday night about Kenya, and we have a vision for the Lord's work. A believer, his vision can dim. Over there in 2 Peter, I'll just read what he says there in chapter 1. 2 Peter and chapter 1. And verse 5, I'll read quickly here. These are encouraging words to add to your faith when received. It says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Yes, that verse talks about, you could talk about a man in the muddle. Well, Laodicea was in a muddle because they were a lukewarm church and they had lost their vision. I can talk about a lot of things this morning concerning them. I think the words that we read there from the original where it says that they have need of nothing tells us an awful lot. Hard to talk to. Couldn't get it. Couldn't see themselves as they really were. They needed close communion with the Lord that you and I do, no matter what we have. But they left out in that. And they were just like the water that came from Hierapolis. It was very hot by the time it got to Laodicea. It was lukewarm. And the cold water from Colossae, by the time it got to Laodicea, it was lukewarm as well. They couldn't see themselves as they really were. They could not see. And this really is telling. They could not see that the Lord was actually outside. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Such a shame. The Lord outside. So, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. The Lord wanted to be in the presence of his people there, but there's no time. They had so much and were so proud of themselves and so full of themselves that they didn't realize the Lord was outside. And folks, it's important for you and I to know. And I'm just an ordinary individual, and I'm sure you feel you are as well, but all over the years have been encouraged to know that the Lord is here. And I'm very encouraged when other people have told us it's evident that the Lord is there and that we witness in Achillea. But here's the danger. If you and I get to the point where we don't know the difference, whether he's there or not, and we feel, we get to such a point that we just go on as we are and following our own way, and we don't really understand that he's outside the door. He's outside the door. I'm going to speak to you just for a few minutes here about a man. And he put the Lord outside the door. He was still the Lord's. And his name was Samson. And he was to be a Nazarite. His life was to be committed to the Lord. And he was a mighty man, very well known. Great reputation for following the Lord. And then he met Delilah. And she was the devil's child, if anyone was, when she came along to him. And she managed to get from him the secret of his great strength. And when he awoke, at times, he walked away with the pillars of the door, and right up to the top of the hill. Such was his strength when the Lord helped him. But then when he told her the secret of his strength, it says there in Judges chapter 20 and verse 16, Judges chapter 16 and verse 20, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. As far as he was concerned, it was just another day. And here's just another attempt by the Philistines to overcome me. And where it says wist, it means he knew or he understood not, or he could not discern. He could not discern that the Lord was departed from him. He did not know, as someone said, but he was always going to find out. He was always going to find out eventually. But folks, it didn't start there. It started whenever he got his eyes on Delilah. And for Samson, it was all downhill from there. To the mighty Samson, no doubt he had loved ones, some of them maybe not saved, wondering what's going on now. This man's a man of God. What's he at? And his life would have affected his loved ones as he was now caught up in sleaze with Delilah. But it all started before this, but he knew not that the Lord was there. And folks, we always need to know. We always need to know that the Lord is there. Laodicea, and these were not, generally speaking, in everyday things, they were very intelligent people. Very, very famous medical school there, as I said. They were probably the most famous place for banking in those days. Minted their own coins. Made famous black cloaks that were worn on special occasions. And they were really, really renowned as very, very intelligent people. But the Lord says here, that they don't know. You're saying, I have need of nothing, and I knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They didn't know. I wouldn't like to have gone to the door and said, I just want to let you know that you can have your gathering here. You have plenty of physical comforts, but you don't have the Lord's presence at the moment. He's outside the door because of the way you're living. I would have been in trouble. But that's how it is. That's how it was with them. They could not see, therefore, their own need, how they were. They could not see that Christ's nearer presence, which makes a difference, was outside the door. They could not see the doors of opportunity. They were so wrapped up in me. in themselves. They were lukewarm. They had no concern for the lost. I remember reading a very disturbing story one time of a Christian man having a debate with another believer. That might be nothing unusual in itself, but one of the men said something which was really alarming. He said, "I am an evangelical, but I am not evangelistic. I am an evangelical, but I am not evangelistic." That's a contradiction in terms. Contradiction in terms. Didn't the Lord Jesus say in John 4, "Say not that there are 4 months and then cometh harvest. Look unto the fields already white." White means that they're overripe already. When harvest is golden, it's ready for harvesting. When it goes white, it's gone too far. And the Lord's saying, now you need to have your eyes on the fields. And in reality here, folks, this verse, this passage shows us that it's not all about a lovely building. And we're thankful for that. It's not all about having enough to keep going, which takes a lot of stress out of the treasurer's life. And that's good. We don't worship those things. But we need to keep our eye, and it's as simple as this. We need to keep our eye on the one who provided us with them. These people had dim vision. They had dim vision. And folks, as we heard on Wednesday evening about the amount of work that needs to be done on the mission field, and just look around us here today, now in Northern Ireland, we can't afford to have dim vision. Comfort is something that we thank the Lord for, but we make sure we think of the comfort of the Scriptures, the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and the comfort that believers can be to one another. And then we think of all the other comforts, the material things. And we get things in perspective. These people did not. And comfort had promoted complacency among them. They'd lost. There was dimmed vision, but there was dimmed vibrancy. And this was a tragedy. If you look in verses 16 and 17, read it all there yourself together. It says in verse 16, "So then, because I am lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Now, some people say, well, there you are. The Lord casts his church away if they're not faithful to him. It's not saying that. You can read church history or the annals of history from that part of the world for yourself. Whenever that water came from Hierapolis, it was hot, to Laodicea, it was lukewarm by then, or the cold water from Colossae to Laodicea, it was lukewarm by then. It was well known that when people drank the lukewarm water, that it made them vomit. Sorry for using the word, but it made them sick. And therefore, he was using words that they would know exactly what he's saying. Make me feel sick? "I will spew thee out of my mouth." It's an expression of repulsiveness. And that is an awful thing. Christ loves his people. But here he didn't love the way they were living. He didn't love the way they were living. They had lost their vibrancy. The word lukewarm, as I said, would be very meaningful to them. And folks, you and I are to be vibrant in spirit. Over there in Romans chapter 12, again, we're not saying that we are supermen. I mentioned Samson. He wasn't a superman. He was just an ordinary man and just an ordinary looking man. If he had shoulders that width, everybody would have expected him to be strong. Just an ordinary looking man. The Lord strengthened him remarkably. You and I are just ordinary people, but we're to be fervent in spirit. Romans 12 and verse 11 says, "Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." The word fervent there is a word that refers to something that is boiling over. Something that is boiling over. And that just doesn't happen naturally. Being fervent in spirit is inextricably linked to being fervent in prayer. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. And in the book, in the Bible, Christ is uplifted as the one who enables us to be fervent in spirit. Therefore, we're back to the word again, to preaching him, to looking to him. The Laodicean church here, as far as they were concerned, they were extremely independent about 60 AD. And this shows us, by the way, that they didn't heed the message. About 60 AD, an earthquake completely destroyed, almost completely destroyed the church there and a good part of the city. But they were so independent-minded, they would not accept outside help. And they did their thing again by themselves. That's all well and good. But it's not well and good that they counted the Lord out still. They didn't count him in. They were independent. They felt they were secure. They were self-satisfied. But their spiritual power and usefulness had dimmed. And that's an awful thought. Over in John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus there is speaking about himself as being the vine. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And again, that does not mean that he comes and he cuts you off. Yes, when we read in Corinthians about some sleep because of sin, the Lord takes them away because they're a hindrance in God's work. That is true, but you and I can't say who. We never know who it is, but he does do that. But here, that taking away, the words taketh away, in the original mean lifted up. The vine doesn't bear fruit if the branch is lying down in the dirt. But when he lifts it up, then it bears fruit. And when the Lord comes along and he lifts us up, and the thought here is of being raised up. And when we're raised up, we're looking to him because, as he says himself here, without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. You can read that whole chapter yourself. I don't have time to go down it all today. Verse 7, ye shall ask what ye will and shall be done unto you. The possibilities are endless for the Christian church. But not if we're like the branch that is hanging down where it can't bear fruit. We want to be looking up, but going forward in his power, not like this church that felt that they could coast along. They felt that they could coast along. You see, there is comfort, and as I said, we all like comfort. And if a man and woman are trying to have their home comfortable and their family, that's all good. And if the Lord allows a church to have enough to keep it comfortable and a comfortable place to worship, that is good too. But Christ must be central all the time. And we do it in his part. Here's a place that took everything for granted that they did. They thought, oh, we can do it. Look at us. Look what we can do. And the Lord uses very strong words, and I'll mention them in a moment here, when he talks about them being wretched and miserable and blind. But they were coasting along. They had lost their vibrancy. And yes, you and I know that we need the Lord to work. But when we go into our prayer time, be it at home or here in the church, and we seek the Lord in prayer, then we're asking him for power to live for him, then we know we're going forward in his power. It's like a car. You take a car to the top of a hill, and it's ticking over, it's going. But if you take off in first gear and then you knock it out of gear, you're coasting. You're still going there. You're still traveling along, but you're not going in the power of the car. And that actually is a very, very dangerous thing to do. And one of the things that can happen very easily is that you can lose control. You can't use the gears to brake because it's not in gear. You can lose control. And what an illustration of trying to go forward without the Lord's power. And again, you can go off track, lose control very easily. They had lost, there was dimmed vibrancy here. There was dimmed vision, but there was dimmed humility. No doubt possibly when they started, they were humble people, but now they were proud. You see where it says there that they actually talk about themselves being rich. Thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Quite a unique situation in those days, you might say, for a church out there, but that is how they were. But now there was no humility with them. And by human standards, They were snobs. And not just as far as snobs today are concerned anywhere, but they were spiritually snobby. Really couldn't get over themselves. But the Lord brought them down to earth here. Because remember what we said, he sees things as they are, and it's good when he tells us how they are. And then in the letter to them, he says, you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The word wretched, just if we look at it, means here, oppressed with a burden. You may think, well, what burden did they have? They didn't seem to have to be oppressed with a burden. You know what their burden was? Their burden was their wealth. It was a burden to them. They've been better meeting together and praying week by week that they would just get enough to get them through to the next week. That would have been far better for them than to have the wealth that they had, because they imagined that they could coast along just because they had all of this. Remember the car we mentioned? It's still a car, still travels along, still gets down to yonder, but it's coasting. It's not going, it's not using the sometimes when, I don't know what girls are like, but when fellas, well, yes, I do know, because some girls have told me, fellas are looking at the car, and they say, oh, she still pulls really well in third gear. You're using the power of the car to get somewhere, but not when you're coasting. They were coasting here, and their burden was their wealth, and the Lord says to them, hold on a wee minute, you're oppressed with a burden, and it's your wealth. You're actually wretched. And poor there is a reference to a pauper by the roadside. You've seen them occasionally. Thankfully, not very many, but you do see them more so around big cities. And not only are they not attractive, they're vulnerable. Vulnerable. And so it is with a Christian or a church that gets to this point. Like a pauper by the bed, by the roadside, not attractive and vulnerable. He also says here, they're miserable, and the word miserable means to be pitied. To be pitied. And the Lord's heart did go out to them. The Lord's heart did go out to them, but there would be no progression until they acknowledged how it was, because he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Have you lost out in fellowship with the Lord? Have I, coasting along, things seem the same, just the car keeps moving on, but not going in his part, looking to him? They had lost their humility, and the Lord, he sought to bring them back to that point where they would be humble. Remember what we read in verse 20 here. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. They had lost. Finally, there was dimmed carefulness. Dimmed carefulness. They were living recklessly. Verses 18, you can read that. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. In other words, you're not rich. True riches are found in me. That's really what he was saying to them. And white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. That would draw their attention to the garments that they made that were black. You need to be walking with me. And he even mentions here, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve. That would really make them perk up and listen to what he was saying, because of their famous medical school there that majored on looking after people's eyes when they had eye problems. And the Lord here says to them exactly what they need to hear. They had lost their carefulness, and the Lord wanted them to get back to that point of being careful again. And he provided everything for them in verse 18. To buy of me, it doesn't mean you have to give anything. It simply means, again, there was a commercial area as well. Because of their businesses, it's a commercial term to come and to buy of me. It was actually something that he would provide for them. He would provide for them. Remember, they were too good to ask anyone for anything, to look out anywhere, as far as they were concerned. And he wants them now to come and to deal with this carefulness. And folks, someone said that salvation is Christ's righteousness imputed. And so it is. That's, if we're not saved and we come and we trust him, his righteousness is imputed or given over to our account, and God looks upon us then as righteous in his sight. We're justified, regenerated to life from death. Someone said salvation is Christ's righteousness imputed, but sanctification is Christ's righteousness imparted. In other words, it becomes part of our character, something that marks us in our conduct. Verse 18 there mentions white raiment. That symbolizes, of course, living righteously. They could have got back into blessing. But as I come to a close, I have to say that history shows us that they didn't. Yes, they went on for a while coasting, but they didn't listen to the message from the Lord. They didn't get back to that point of cultivating zeal in their hearts through God's word and through seeking his face together, and they drifted on. Remember, this is to the individual. Verse 20, if any man, one man could have, or woman could have, and still can make a difference, you can, young person. You can make a difference. Think of that. You can make a difference for the Lord and in the lives of other people. But somewhere along the line, the light at Laodicea went out. Comfort promoted complacency. And folks, it was all downhill after that. Even when the Lord sent them such, spoke to them in such a clear and pointed letter, they would not listen. Let's not fall into the trap that they fell into. Let's thank the Lord for all the comfort we have. But remember to keep our eyes on him and keep focused on him.